Community leaders in Jackson and Josephine counties will get together next week to talk about ways to make healthier, stronger, more resilient communities. The forum is a gathering called Next Now. Next, comma, now. It's described as an event focused on dramatically improving health, education, safety, and productivity in our region. Sounds like a big task. Let's get an idea of what's involved and get into more descriptive discussions of adverse childhood experiences and a trauma-informed way of looking at health. Two guests with us. Rick Rollins is in the studio with me. He's a licensed clinical social worker and the operations manager at Jackson County Mental Health. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And joining us by phone is Laura Porter, who is the co-founder of ACE Interface, ACE standing, of course, for Adverse Childhood Experiences. Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Rick, let's start at the outset here and talk about what brings you and Laura and a lot of other people together, it sounds like, at Next Now.
So it's really an opportunity for the community to come together and have some of the main national researchers and those that have created models understanding the brain science and how adverse childhood experiences, you know, trauma, how it impacts all of us. And coming together for not just a training for the professionals, but really a community event to everybody to come together to hear from the national presenters what the science is telling us, but then to look at how do we take that information and now move forward in order to improve the health of the community.
So mental health is a starting point, but it sounds like it expands in concentric circles beyond that.
It is, yeah. It's not just about mental health for sure, because it impacts, you know, kids, it impacts adults, it impacts us in our work, it impacts our relationships within the community. So we're hoping certainly to improve mental health throughout the community, but really to improve productivity and health and healthy lifestyles throughout the community.
Okay, we've established that ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. Laura Porter, tell us about ACE Interface and what you set it up to do.
ACE Interface is a small business that I started with Dr. Robert Anda to help communities use the Adverse Childhood Experience Study concepts to really dramatically improve health and safety and productivity. Robert Anda is the co-principal investigator of the Adverse Childhood Experience Study. He actually designed the study while he was a senior scientist at the CDC. And we have worked together for many years, beginning in Washington State, where we helped communities to use this science in their everyday relationship with one another and also to weave the science through social and health and business systems in order to really dramatically reduce the rates of major social problems and also improve the rates of employment and employability.
When was the ACE study and how broad was it? How many people were involved?
The ACE study occurred in the late 80s. It was a partnership between the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Kaiser Permanente in San Diego. And there were two principal investigators, Dr. Robert Anda, who I already mentioned, and Dr. Vincent Folletti, who actually spoke about a year ago in your community. And over 17,000 people participated in the study. They were all members of Kaiser Permanente and served by the San Diego office of that HMO.
And what were some of the major findings of the ACE study?
The scientists looked at 10 different categories of adversity that create stress for children while they're in their developmental years. And that stress actually shapes the development of brains so that we adapt to the life that our body thinks we're going to live in. So we can become much better at navigating stress, but that can have a downside in terms of other kinds of challenges in life. And the biggest findings from the study are that adverse childhood experiences are very common. They're common in all socioeconomic groups and across all race ethnicity lines. They're interrelated. Most people who experience one kind of adversity during childhood experience several kinds of adversity. And the accumulation of different kinds of adversity have a profound effect on health across the life course.
Are ACEs continuing sorts of trauma, like living with abusive parents or living in poverty? Or are they single event sorts of things, like falling down and needing stitches? I'm just trying to figure out what amounts to an ACE.
These scientists included in their study 10 categories of adverse childhood experience. So three categories of abuse, physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, two categories of neglect, physical neglect and emotional neglect, and then five indicators of how the household is functioning in ways that could create major stressors for children. And those are having a drug-addicted or alcoholic family member in your household while you're growing up, having an incarcerated family member, having someone who's mentally ill, depressed, or suicidal in your household, having parental discord as indicated by divorce or separation, and I'm forgetting the fifth one.
Okay, but it's something a little more regular than one-time incidents.
Correct. Although the study looked at if these things happened before your 18th birthday, and the finding was that having multiple categories of adversity has a powerful impact on health. If a person had only one category, much less impact on lifelong health.
And so what we were just talking about here, Rick Rollins, we're talking about the brain actually grows differently because of adverse childhood experiences?
Yeah, depending on how the environment the person is growing up in, the brain and the neural pathways develop as a result of what's occurring. And so neurons are forming based upon the experience. And as there's negative experiences, then we learn responses to help us survive those experiences. And so as negative experiences, as these trauma, these adverse childhood experiences continue to occur, then our brain adapts in a way that helps us survive. But it always doesn't always help us in the real world when society norms kick in and we're expected to sit and to pay attention in class. Well, that's not what our brain has been wired to when we're trying to survive an adverse experiences. So brains actually physically develop different.
So if we're in flight or fight response,
exactly,
on a regular basis, then
exactly,
yeah, sitting in a classroom in a chair being quiet is not the thing that your body or your brain is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, much more to talk about with both Rick Rollins and Laura Porter as we talk about mental health and adverse childhood experiences in the Next Now conference coming to Grants Pass October 10th and 11th. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with our guests and with your phone calls and emails in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We're talking about mental health and ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and how we can use the information we now have about ACEs and have had since the study on ACEs back in the late 80s to make ourselves stronger individuals and to make society stronger societies. This will all get discussed October 10th and 11th at something called the Next Now Conference in Grants Pass, which brings together people from a bunch of different fields. We have Rick Rollins with us from Jackson County Mental Health. He's the operations manager there. He's in the studio with me. Laura Porter is the co-founder of a company called ACE Interface. Now you know what ACE stands for. And you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So Rick Rollins, as a mental health professional, how much is mental health attuned to things like ACEs, like a trauma-informed approach? Is this pretty much the law of the land now, or the way things are done?
The research has been out for about 20 years. I think now it's becoming more across the board understood, and how do we now change our responses as a result of understanding how brain develop and how adverse childhood experiences can now impact us across the board. I think the analogy I use is understanding that you're not focusing so much on what the behaviors are and not asking about what's wrong with you, but instead focusing on what's happened to you and what are the things that have occurred in your life. And so I use the analogy of, if you hear somebody screaming in the other room and your perspective is, well, that person's defiant, they're out of control, I need to go in there and punish them. But then you walk in there and all of a sudden you realize that they've cut their leg open and they're bleeding. Does your response change, or do you still punish because they're screaming? No, hopefully we're going to change our response to, how do I help you heal and what's happened to you? And that's really the shift that we're looking for the community to understand. When people have challenging life experiences growing up, how do we help them heal from that? And that's about bringing people together as a community, and that's how the healing occurs, is through those relationships that we can build.
All right, so again, the next NOW conference is billed as being focused on dramatically improving health, education, safety, and productivity in our region. So it's a lot of different realms. And so Laura, let's talk about the idea of aligning what appear to be some somewhat disparate sectors of society. It sounds like a lot of moving parts.
Well, the marvelous finding from the Adverse Childhood Experience study that gives us so much power to change so many things is that ACEs are a common driver of problems in all of those systems. So as we are successful in reducing the adverse childhood experiences of the next generation, we will dramatically improve the rates of problems in all of those sectors. In the business sector, for example, ACEs are driving the rate of on-the-job injury and work-related illness, and they're also driving serious financial problems that are a distraction from work and absence from work. So as we're able to reduce the ACE scores, we're able to improve all of those kinds of outcomes. And there are examples in all of those other arenas that we've talked about, including test scores, attendance, behavior in school, and health and social problems, including homelessness, incarceration, dissatisfaction with life, and more. So it's the first time we've had a body of evidence that allows us to focus on one causal factor and influence so many different kinds of outcomes.
I know you've taken ACE Interface to other places. Talk about the kinds of things that have emerged from sessions like this, where you get a bunch of people together from the community and get them aligned, at least on the same page, understanding ACEs and trauma-informed approaches.
Sure. Many times neighborhoods decide to organize, parents organize to support one another once they understand that the kinds of challenges that are happening in the homes in the neighborhood are challenges that might have their origins from childhood. People will say, well, I'm happy to be more helpful now that I understand that these aren't choices, these are biological responses to stress. Families will self-organize to help one another with simple favors or watching out for children when children are needing support in the neighborhood. And also social services will begin to shift and incorporate more of the principles of trauma-informed care into their services, principles like choice and safety, trustworthiness, collaboration. So we've seen also systems begin to weave the strength across different systems. For example, in one community, they trained the special advocates for children who are served by the child welfare system to also be advocates for those same children's special education plans in school, so that one person was developing a relationship with the family and the child and being able to speak on behalf of the child in all the systems where the child is involved.
So let's talk about the confluence here with Next Now. And so Rick Rollins, we're talking community, but you're getting people from Jackson and Josephine County. Are you defining that as both the counties together?
Yeah, it's really a Southern Oregon approach to responding to the concerns in the community and how do we impact the community at large. So it is Josephine, Jackson County, Coos, Curry County is invited. We have people from Douglas County. So really the entire region looking to have people come and have a dialogue with, you know, the national voices being able to help us direct what we want to do to improve our community.
Given how long the ACE study has been out there and other information about trauma-informed approaches, is this still something that is being a lot of people going to hear this new, you think, at Next Now?
Yeah, so there's a group of us that have been going around the community and doing various trainings. We've done about 30, 35 trainings in the last couple months. And there's already a huge variety. Yesterday I did a training, and in there, almost none of them had heard of the ACE training or ACE study. Last week I did a training and almost everybody had. So there is still a variety, but because of, you know, the science takes about 20 years to get to the mainstream, and we're about there, and now we're getting to the point where more and more people are aware of it, and now we need to talk about what's next. Now that I'm aware of it, how does that change what we do?
Rick Rollins is with Jackson County Mental Health. He's the operations manager. Laura Porter is on the phone with us. She's the co-founder of ACE Interface, ACE standing for Adverse Childhood Experiences. Join our discussion on the exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a call. Here's Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, good deal. My voice, thyroid, that's okay. I hope you can understand me.
You can. We can.
Well, thank you. I believe that it's true that certain people can experience the same trauma as an adult. Some will get PTSD and others won't. Because of earlier childhood trauma, they're more prone or predisposed, I guess, to developing PTSD as an adult when missing a trauma.
Okay, good point. Whether ACEs lead to the susceptibility, perhaps, to PTSD later in life.
You know, the thing with the ACE study is understanding that it's not a direct relationship regarding future diagnosis on a one-to-one relationship. It's really population attributable risk and looking at the fact that the risk increases as a population when you have an increased number of ACEs. It increases the risk for negative health outcomes, you know, across the board. There's increased risk. But it's not necessarily just because this has happened to you, then you are going to have these negative events, negative health outcomes. And it's not specifically for PTSD that the risks increase. It's things like, your other health outcomes that can be about increased smoking earlier, increased alcoholism, significant increases in suicide risk. So it's not specifically to mental health, mental illness diagnoses. It's other risks, health and physical health risks.
Laura Porter, I don't think I've asked this yet, and again, you do work with Robert Anda, who was the creator of the ACE study. How big a proportion of the population is believed to be carrying around ACEs?
Well, in most states where we've measured the prevalence of ACEs in the population, we found that about 27% of the population experienced three or more categories while they were growing up, and about 5% of the population experienced six or more. So ACEs are quite common, and two-thirds of the population experienced at least one of them. I want to get back to Jeannie's question, though, because we have found neuroscientists have found from studies looking at the military population that when we take the population as a whole, we do see a higher risk for long-lasting effects from the trauma of the combat zone based on the population's overall experience of adverse childhood experiences. So there is a core finding from this study that is about the accumulation of childhood plus adult adversities has more serious implications long-term than just having having adult adversities alone.
Is it as simple as saying that the fewer ACEs you had growing up, the more resilient you will be as an adult?
Absolutely it is.
Okay, let's take another call. We have Sandy and Mount Shasta on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Laura Porter and Rick Rollins.
Oh, my God, I've been waiting for this program for so long. Thank you, Jeffrey. Kudos to you for
and to Emily.
An interview with Laura. Laura, I'm a huge fan of your work. I've been following it for a couple of years. I've been posting on Facebook every chance I get. I live in Siskiyou County, which is one of the poorest and most it has a less population than most California counties and very widespread. And we have had some ACEs events here, but they are few and far between. And my experience is people go to a training, and then, you know, it's all good. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, I'm going to put this to use, and then nothing really much happens. So I'm interested in finding out if you guys have any connections in Northern California. I'm talking very Northern California. 60 counties right at the Oregon border. Because I would love to bring you guys or some other people down here to build an awareness of the need. I've spent my life working with traumatized populations of one kind or another, and had I had this information back, for example, when I was doing domestic violence treatment with perpetrators, I would have done what I did a whole lot different than I did at the time. And now I'm working with preschool children because I realized that the real meat of the matter is to prevent these things from happening in the first place.
All right. Sandy, sounds like an invitation. And Laura, any chance you'll end up in Northern California, extreme Northern California, anytime soon?
Well, actually, yes. I have been in conversation with people from Siskiyou County who are as enthusiastic maybe as you are. So that's great. We're talking about a couple of different things. One is to do an event and some ongoing consultation with the systems there so they can embed this science into their work. And the second thing we've been talking about is training trainers who then could go throughout Siskiyou County and provide education about the science and know that we're providing that education with fidelity to the scientific findings. And that is the role that Rick has in the Medford, the greater Medford area. And that train-the-trainer program builds a lot of momentum fairly rapidly and also gives opportunity for people like you to become a speaker trainer, which sounds like you could be a great one.
All right, thanks for that. So is then Next Now sort of an overlay, Rick Rollins, over the Train the Master Trainer program?
We continue to do these other trainings throughout the community, and those will continue as we can get into various venues to do these trainings. This is really an opportunity for the whole community to come together from a spectrum of different counties, but also different, you know, business sectors. We want parents, we want families, we want kids, you know, adolescents to be able to come and be able to part of this conversation.
The partners for Next Now, I should point out, are ACE Interface, for whom Laura is the co-founder, Keros, and Southern Oregon Success, which is based at the Education Service District in Medford. The funders are All Care, Jackson Care, Connect, Asante, and the Ford Family Foundation. So lots of health kind of organizations involved. Southern Oregon Success lists a couple of major areas it wants to focus on: the low graduation rate, the high substance abuse rate, the high youth suicide rate, the high youth homeless rate, and high child poverty. What would be some of the first steps, do you think, Rick Rollins, in how you approach this? I mean, do you start at a clinical level with people who are dealing with the problems?
I really think if we start at a more community-based and have the information needs to be not just in the mental health sector, it needs to be in schools, it needs to be in businesses, it needs to be across the board, that people are understanding what's occurred in adolescents, children's lives, adults as well, and how do we respond with a way to help them heal and a way to help connect them back into the community. Often the damage is done and people become separate and isolated, and that continues to make matters worse. So the healing comes when people can get reconnected and those relationships and those strong positive attachments can occur. That's when you start to see the graduation rates increase. You start to see drug use decrease because there's some positives that they have in their life that are pushing those things out.
Laura Porter, I noticed you were once a county commissioner in Washington State, so you know what the realities of local funding are like. I mean, and what's the story on what it costs communities to adopt strategies based on trauma-informed approaches?
Well, one of the beauties is that it often doesn't cost significantly more than what we're already spending. What we do is weave the science into the existing systems and make small changes that have really big effects. For example, programs that may be focusing on only one generation may be able to make small shifts and focus on two generations, which helps reduce the transmission of ACEs from one generation to the next. Or programs that are mostly doing direct services might begin to work with their clients in a way that improves the social network of their clients, which allows them to have support long after they've been in formal services or care. So we make these small shifts in the systems, and those have really big effects. It's one of the most scalable strategies that we've ever worked with as a social service system. And I might say, since I was a county commissioner, the cost in the justice system are often the major driver of a county budget, and this is one of the best ways of reducing those justice costs for a county.
We have a call here from Jerry in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Laura Porter and Rick Rollins.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that the regional conversation, I would hope we could extend that to Klamath County. I have been working in child care, child protective custodies, and juvenile corrections for almost 30 years between Shasta County all the way up into Josephine, Jackson County over here in Klamath Falls. And our agency, Klamath-based and Behavioral Health, we're using the trauma-informed foundations for the development of our programs. But the more information interaction we could get would be immensely appreciated.
Okay. Thanks for that, Jerry. Appreciate it. So how much interconnection across the mountains is there, Rick Rawlings?
I mean, I think we're continuing to build those relationships. This is really something that's really new. We've had ACE Interface in our community for the last 6 months or so is all. So we've done a lot of work in a short period of time. We realize there's a lot more work to be done and continuing to work with our neighboring counties. This was really funded initially through All Care and Jackson Care Connect as our two CCOs here in Jackson and Josephine County. Primary Health has also helped fund that. And so part of it is occurring here because that's our funders are in those two counties.
Who's invited to come to the Next Now conference?
Really everybody. It's a free conference.
Even better.
There's lunch provided. If people need assistance with getting to it, we can assist with transportation. We really don't want barriers to keep people away. We want people to come and be a part of the voice.
Okay. Links through our website at jeffexchange.org. Rick Rawlings is with Jackson County Mental Health. Laura Porter is with ACE Interface. Thank you both for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.